welcome. Welcome to the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you this evening as we conclude our Advent preparations, our journey to the manger, the cross, and the empty tomb. The theme for tonight and this third week in Advent is kind of an odd theme in a time of repentance and preparation. God's Word exhorts us to rejoice. Not just once in a while, but to rejoice. Not just when things are going well, but to rejoice. To rejoice in the Lord always. Advent joy, absolute joy, 24/7, 365, in Christ Jesus. Yes. A couple of words on our worship service for this evening. Our opening hymn, you'll probably denote a pattern here. Rejoice, O pilgrim throng. We heard that in our prelude as well. Hymn 813, last verse is the Trinitarian verse. Please stand when we get there. Following that hymn, we'll follow the order of Vespers. Page 229 and following. Page 229 and following. We'll be using the insert from this past Sunday, and the focus will be on the intro, as we have done each of these Advent Wednesdays. We'll make sure that we are on the right time, right place, at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, teach us how to rejoice. The ups and downs of this world overshadow every aspect of our life. Teach us how to rejoice. Sometimes things are going very well and according to plan. Other times things are not going well at all. Teach us, O Lord, how to rejoice. In the midst of a world full of sin, teach us that we can rejoice day in and day out, each and every day of our lives, only in the person and work of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. It is in His name that we have joy. It is His name that we gather, worship, and pray this night. Hymn 813.
Thank you. Page 229.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, King who comes to save us.
We turn to the words of our intuit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert. Hymn 737. A reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare of the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry! And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the words of our gradual. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Stir up your might and come to save us.
Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock.
A reading from Paul, from the first letter of St. Paul to the Church of God in Corinth. Chapter 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. Be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Rejoice in the good times. Rejoice in the bad times. Do you like your job? Rejoice. Do you hate your job? Rejoice. Are you looking for a job? Rejoice. Is things at the bank going well? Rejoice! Is money tight? Rejoice! Are you in good health? Rejoice! Are you sick or in pain? Rejoice! Do you have more presents under the Christmas tree than your sibling? Rejoice! Do you have less presents under the Christmas tree than your siblings? Rejoice! Rejoice. Paul tells us in God's Word that we're not supposed to rejoice in the Lord sometimes. We're not supposed to rejoice in the Lord most of the time. But we are to rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoicing. It's easier to rejoice when times are good, when things are going well. What about rejoicing when times are bad? When times are tough? Well, first of all, we should consider this word rejoicing first for a moment. Rejoicing is a natural response to being filled with joy. You can't rejoice unless you are first filled with joy. And for the Christian, joy is not the same thing as happiness. Christian joy is not the same thing as happiness, for Christian joy is promised in God's Word. Happiness is not. Happiness, it comes and goes, most of our lives are spent pursuing happiness. Happiness is fleeting. Joy is enduring. Happiness is fickle. Joy is faithful. Happiness, it comes and goes, but joy, on the other hand, is always present. It is steadfast, immovable, ever present and always among us. As we go through life, through the ups and downs, through the hills and the valleys, through the pleasure and the pain, the joy of the Christian is ever present, because the joy of the Christian is not based on the passing away and transitory things of this world, but the joy of the Christian is found only in the Lord, in His life, in His death, and in His resurrection for us. Christian joy, it can only be found in the Lord, and we get ourselves into trouble when we look to any other thing in this world for joy. To look to anything else but the Lord for joy is to turn to folly. And yet we do. We turn away from God and we think that we must find our own joy within the things of this world, or make our own joy in this world. And how well does that work out? Think about this season. Where during this season do you look for joy? It's easy, isn't it, to get up and caught up in all the things of this season, all the Christmas trees, the Christmas lights, the Christmas music, the presents, the family, the food, the friends, the fellowship. And all these things might bring us some limited amount of happiness, they don't bring us true joy. And to be quite honest, they don't even do a very good job of making us happy. You know, according to the National Institute of Health, it is during this time of year, during this season, that stress, anxiety, and depression hit an all-time national high. You know, this time of the year is supposed to be, well, it's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, but actually, statistically, it's the most anxiety-inducing, stress-filled, and simply depressing time of year. And why is that? Well, we all want Christmas to be perfect, and we think that if we can do just everything just right, it will be perfect. If we could get everyone just the right gifts, if we could get all the kids and all the family back in one place, get them all together at once, if we could just have an old-fashioned family Christmas like we used to, if we could just. You know, no matter how hard you want Christmas to be perfect or how hard you try to find happiness during this season, the problem is that sin will always be there and we can't get rid of it ourselves. We want Christmas to be a time of escape. That one time of the year where we can forget about all the struggles and problems we faced all year long and that just have a moment to be happy. We want a Christmas like you see on the Hallmark Channel, where every relationship works out perfectly, where the family is big and the feasts are bigger, where everyone gives and receives exactly what they want. Yet that's not how it works. The problems caused by our sin don't magically go away during this season. And that's why we're so depressed, stressed out, and anxious during this time of year. For if anything, this time of year just makes us all that more aware of the problems that sin has caused in our lives. It reminds us of really how anxious we are, how stressed we are, how lonely we are, how depressed we are, how angry we are, how jealous we are, how much pain we are in. We become aware that not even the best things in this world, not even Christmas, can do anything about our sin. Nothing in this world can bring true and lasting joy. Nothing this world has to offer can cause us to rejoice. And it's good for us to realize this. Thanks be to God when we do realize this. For the silver lining in all of this is that when we realize that there's nothing in this world that can bring us true joy, nothing in this world but sin, nothing in this world to rejoice in, it is then that we are reminded where to look for our joy. For God allows trials, tribulations, and temptations to come into our lives so that we might be reminded, so that we might be taught to look to and learn where to look for our true joy. And it's only when we give up our own efforts, when we stop our struggling, striving, and chasing after the fleeting happiness of this world, that we receive true joy that is found only in the Lord. And it is this joy, in the joy of the Lord, in the joy of in all the works that God has done for us and continues to do for us, that we rejoice. And this is what the psalmist spoke of today in our intro. For in our intro, we are given excerpts from Psalm 85, and in it, the psalmist says, "Lord, You are favorable to Your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob." We rejoice for all that God did for His people, for even after His people sinned and were taken into captivity in Babylon, God brought them back to Israel. We rejoice that God kept His promises and saved a remnant, so that through the line of Jacob, a Savior would be born. And we rejoice that a Savior was born. We rejoice in the miracle of the incarnation of Jesus, of God, the second person of the Trinity, coming down to earth and taking into Himself human flesh. We rejoice in this miracle. And we rejoice in Jesus, who grew strong and was filled with all wisdom. We rejoice in Him, in whom God was well pleased. But yet we rejoice most of all that Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. We rejoice most of all this season that Jesus came to die. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. We rejoice because on the cross, Jesus bore all those sufferings, pains, troubles, depression, loneliness, anxiety, anger, and jealousy. All these things we suffer in this world, He bore all this for you. We rejoice because on the cross, Jesus shed His blood to cover all of our iniquity. We rejoice because on the cross, Jesus died to forgive all of our sin. And we still rejoice. For God is not a dead God, but He is the living God who rose from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of God. We rejoice because Jesus continues to restore Jacob. He continues to restore His people, His church. He continues to restore us through answering our prayers and by forgiving our sins. For we pray along with the psalmist, "Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you?" And God answers this prayer. God answers, and we listen. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people, to His saints. But let them not turn back to folly. We listen because God speaks peace to us, His people. God, through His servants, announces the grace of God unto all of you. And they, in the stead and the command of their Lord Jesus Christ, announce, "Forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." They forgive you in the name in which you were baptized. When we come to this altar, when we come to this rail and receive His body and blood, God speaks to us. He tells us to go in peace, for all your sins have been forgiven. Jesus, He speaks to you His word of forgiveness, which fills you with His peace, which passes all human understanding, which fills you also with joy and causes you to rejoice. The joy of the Christian, therefore, the joy of the Christian is the joy that comes from the peace of God we receive when we have our sins forgiven for the sake of Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross. And this joy, unlike the world's happiness, is not fickle. It does not last for just a moment, but it is with you at every second of every hour of every day, 24/7, 365. We have access to Him. We can come to Him at any time. He is with you. We can pray to Him at any time, and He has promised that He will hear our prayers and He will answer. We can always go to His Word to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it, to be fed and nourished by it. We can come together at any time to hear His Word and receive His gifts. And even when we are sleeping, Jesus, your great High Priest, neither slumbers nor sleeps, but is interceding for you before the Father. Jesus, His joy for you is not with you sometimes. It's not with you just most of the time, but His joy is with you always. And that is why Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. So during this season, amongst the gifts, the presents, the family, the food, the friends, the fellowship, rejoice. But don't rejoice in these temporal blessings. Instead, rejoice in the Lord. Look to His forgiveness. Look to the Lord and to His forgiveness. And to the peace, hope, comfort, and joy that it brings. And then rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard God's Word, we now rejoice. We rejoice by singing the Magnificat, the Song of Mary, found on page 231. Please stand.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense.
joy and name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship tonight. Special word of welcome and a special word of joy to all those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that no matter what your circumstance, the joy of Christ for you would fill your heart and lives today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Continues and concludes with the prayers of the church. We begin with the Kyrie, page 233. Please stand as you're able. Jesus, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation.
For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayers listed in our news and notes and our worship folder for tonight, we pray for Cleo Kessler, who continues to fight illness, and we also pray for Carolyn Hussa, undergoing tests. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this Advent season. A time of reflection, a time of repentance, a time of prayer, a time of preparation, and a time of joy. Heavenly Father, fill us with the joy that can come only from knowing you. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, there are many times, and especially during this Christmas season, when the cares and burdens and anxieties of life weigh us down. Heavenly Father, drive these worries and fears from us and fill us instead with the joy of knowing that Christ has come, Christ lives, Christ died, and Christ lives again for us and for our salvation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, there are many who are celebrating this season with no knowledge of you and no knowledge of Christ. Heavenly Father, use us as a beacon to the world so that your love, your peace, your forgiveness, and your joy would go forth to the four corners of the earth. Heavenly Father, may it be our will that all people come to a saving knowledge of the truth. And Heavenly Father, bless your word wherever it is spoken, that people would hear and believe. Lord, in your mercy. Great physician of body and soul, you chasten and you heal. We beg you to show mercy to all of your servants who are sick or suffering this day. Especially we remember Donna, Caitlin, Scott, Sharon, Cleo, Carolyn, and all those that we remember in our hearts. Heavenly Father, if it be your good and gracious will, grant healing. And in any and every circumstance, grant them joy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please be seated. We have one more rejoice hymn to sing. We sang it just this past week. Hymn 515, Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers. Of Jesus, the true source of joy. Just a couple of words. If you didn't get your Good Shepherd news and notes from this last Sunday, they're on the back shelf, the back area there. Check those out for the activities and events happening in the days and weeks ahead. I want to thank all the folks with KNNA 95.7 for putting on the meal tonight. And if you want to help and support the radio station, that is a great and worthy cause this special season as well. Well, we are just a few days away from our Christmas celebration, but we have one more Advent opportunity on Sunday morning. It is the fourth Sunday of Advent. So at 8 and 10:30, with Sunday school in between for all ages, we're going to have regular Sunday church. Fourth Sunday in Advent. It is also the 24th of December, which is Christmas Eve. And so we'll come back Sunday evening at 4 and 7 o'clock for our Christmas Eve worship services. So it'll be a little bit of a full day on Sunday, but a joyous day as well. Advent 4 in the morning, Christmas Eve at 4 and 7 o'clock. And then on Monday morning, Christmas Day, we'll gather for Christmas Day Divine Service at 9 a.m. 9 a.m. Brent, I don't want to tear you away. What can I tell the folks about the KFOR broadcast? Okay, 8 o'clock on KFOR. Our radio station only goes out so many miles, so if people don't have a handheld device or an internet connection, they won't be able to get it. But KFOR, regular Sunday morning service at 10:30, and then our 4 o'clock service will be rebroadcast at 8 o'clock. And as always, all of our services here at Good Shepherd will be broadcast live on our own radio station. Pastor, anything else? Oh, special music was awesome tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you can clap. Speaking of that, and I hate to do this because right away it'll go to his head, but that's the best vicar has preached. And I thought he did an outstanding job tonight. So keep up the good work. All right. Life Light tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And school's out at noon tomorrow. No mid... What's that? 11:30? 11:30? Yeah, that's noon in my book. 11:30. School is out. And... Also, no midweek the next two Wednesdays. No midweek the next two Wednesdays. However, we will have church at 6:30 like always. And when the kids come back 2 weeks from tonight, their essays are done. Or due. I hope they're done. They're due. So I hope they're done. All right. I think that's all. Have a great day and Advent and Christmas celebration in the joy that is Jesus Christ.